Get your Bibles out, and I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. To preface the reading of the Scripture, let me tell you something. As I study the Bible, what I find, God is very interested in two major subjects all the way through the Bible: how you get along with God, and then how you get along with people. That is basically what the whole Bible is about. God just wants you to have a proper relationship with Him, and then God wants us to have a proper relationship with people. Proverbs chapter 18. Now, stand with me if you will. Once you stand, let your eyes find Proverbs 18, verse number 17. Proverbs 18, 17. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. That, of course, is our text verse that will help us with the lesson tonight. And let's pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. Holy Spirit, I pray that these people, including myself, would give their attention to you. Spirit of God, help us to lengthen the life of our church. Lengthen the life of the good spirit of our church tonight. Take the lesson and get glory to thyself, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. That verse, Proverbs 18:19, says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. I call the sermon tonight, A Brother Offended. A brother offended. Now, the Bible here says, let's analyze that verse just a little bit. It says, a brother offended. Now, what kind of brother are we talking about? Well, it's one of two things. It's either a family member offended or a spiritual family member. You have blood relatives, and then we have those that are our relatives through the blood of Jesus Christ. But either way, it's talking about someone that's close to you. And it says, now, here somebody has been offended. Then it goes on to say, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won. Now, that means they're hard to win back. You offend a brother. You offend someone that's close to you. It could be hard to win them back. Now, it also, though, I think it is telling us here, we ought to be trying to win them back. You offend someone, your brother, or it be a family member, or it be someone in the family of God. You offend them, you ought to be trying to win them back. You should not just let that offense deteriorate the relationship. But it does say if you've offended them, they may be hard to be won back to a proper relationship. Then it compares that one that's offended. It says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. So now this person that's been offended, they have fortified themselves. A strong city is one that is fortified. It's hard for people to get in or to get out. But for some reason, God compares that offended one to one that's been fortified. And you say, what does that mean? It usually means they have their guard up and you're getting to them. They're making it emotionally difficult. They're not allowing you in. There are people in here, you don't like this, and some of you, you'll deny that it's you, but you're offended, and you have your guard up, and you're a very difficult person. But you've got a guard up because you've been offended, and those kind of people can be hard to reach. They can be hard to help. Then it says, and their contentions. Now, what does that mean? Okay, you offended someone, and you're supposed to try to win them back. They're going to be hard to win because they're fortified. They've put up their guard. And now it says they're contentious. Well, what's happened? Well, they're offended. And now you better watch out. They're liable to attack. They're liable to attack back. They're liable to shoot back. They can be hard to get along with. And what you have to be careful of, they can become troublemakers. They have been offended. They have their guard up. If you try to win them back, Their heart is not in the mood to be won, to the point of they can be angry and they can become an attacker. So you've offended someone. Watch out. You may be attacked by that someone because it says their contentions. Now they're contentious. And it says, in the end, it says, are like the bars of a city. Okay, so they will shut you out very possibly. Now, what I want to point out to you by way of introduction is this. You have two problems here. You have the problem of the offender, and you have the problem of the offended. And so, you know, I think both are a problem. The offender, you say, well, they're the perpetrator. Yes, I know. And that needs to be cared for. You've got the offender, but wait a minute. You also have the offended. Notice that the offended are misbehaving too in this scripture. The offender misbehaved, and now the offended is misbehaving. So you've really have two problems taking place here. I probably should have started this lesson by saying what I teach you tonight will have something to do with whether you stay in church for long. Matter of fact, and what I mean is in our church. In our church, you can hop all over the place. If you want, you can go everywhere under the sun, but what people do is they go somewhere, they get their feelings hurt, or they hurt feelings, and if it gets bad enough, and they don't deal with it, and it's not handled properly, they're going to go somewhere else, and then they're going to go there and get their feelings hurt, or they're going to go there and offend, then they're going to go somewhere else, and they'll get their feelings hurt, or hurt feelings, and they don't get it straightened out, and they'll just go everywhere. So you say, well, I've been in church for a long time. That does not necessarily impress me. There are people who have been in church a long time, but everywhere they go, they're an offender, or the offended, and they've been all over the place, and though they were smart enough to stay in church, they couldn't stay in one for long because they can't get along with people. So it's not just a matter of, oh, I've been in church a long time, so whoop-de-doo. There are people everywhere that have been in all sorts of churches, and there have been trouble surrounding them everywhere they go. And I'm glad. I'm not trying to minimize faithfulness, but I am telling you, it wouldn't hurt that maybe we figure out what the problem is somewhere along the way. But there's two problems here. There's the offender, and there's the offended. You know, all of us should be careful. I don't want to be an offender. I don't want to be the one to offend. So I need to work on me to make sure that I'm not an offender. Then, you know what else I have to do? I have to work on me so that I don't become the offended. Because if I become the offender, then I've hurt somebody. And according to this scripture, if I've become the offended, I'm probably going to hurt somebody. Notice that the offended is one of contention. And so, either way, guess who wins? The old devil, smutty face, wins. Now, stay with me. The lesson's simple. Of course, mine are all very, very simple. They're not hard to follow. But I call the sermon, A Brother Offended. What is it that offends people? What is it? Well, let me say, first of all, the lost and religious people, and I don't consider that always a compliment, they can be offended with Jesus. 1 Peter 2:8 says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Now, so you understand, in 1 Peter 2:8, it's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the rock of offense. You say, well, preacher, why in the world would Jesus be offensive to someone? Well, you know, some unbelievers are going to be offended with Jesus when we tell them, you can't save yourself, you must let Jesus do it. He's better than you, and he's the one that's going to do the saving. Do you know that there are people out there, if you tell them they can't save themselves, they will be offended with you? You've told them the truth about Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. And you understand that when we go to tell someone about Jesus, the first thing we tell them, point number one of the plan of salvation is, everyone's a sinner. Now, that could be very offensive, so I tell you what I always do. I always say right that moment when I tell them everyone's a sinner, I'll say, that includes me. Because I want them to know that I'm not just telling you that you're a sinner, that includes me too. But folks, there are people out there, if you tell them they're a sinner and they have to get saved Jesus' way, they will be offended with it. There are some that are offended when you tell them Jesus is the only way for salvation. They'll be offended with that. And whether our quote-unquote religious world likes it or not, Jesus is the way to heaven, and all the other ways will send you to hell. That's not real popular today. I'm not a real big fan of Donald Trump, but I heard him say something. He said, I've had it up to here with politically correct. And you know what? So have I. What are we supposed to do? We're to be biblically correct. And folks, whether we like it or not, if you and I stick to our guns about Jesus and what He is and who He is, somebody is going to be offended. And I can't change that. And you can't change that. And any church that is changing that because they say, well, that's not popular in this day and age. It wasn't popular in Jesus' day and age. Matter of fact, they were so upset when He said, I'm the one that was to come and I'm the Savior. They crucified Him. They were beating the Apostle Paul and throwing Peter in jail. They weren't real happy about it back then. Now, we can't change the fact that Jesus is the Savior and He's the only one that can get us to heaven. But to some, that's offensive. But here's what you got to work on. You've got to make sure that if someone's offended about Jesus being the Savior, that they're offended with your position, not your disposition about your position. You say, what are you saying? We need to present that Jesus is a Savior, but you shouldn't be a jerk while you do it. That's why I said it's wise that when you tell someone that they're a sinner, that you tell them that includes me too. When you tell someone they need to be born again, you remind them that you needed to be born again too. And everybody needs to be born again, and Jesus is that Savior. But what in the world is it? What offends people? Well, the lost in some of the religious world are offended when you stick to the gospel. That is the death, burial, and resurrection, not of the God of your choice, but of Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, God's perfect, sinless, virgin-born Son. That can be offensive to them. But not only that. Now, let's go to Christianity. In Christianity, people around our church, what in the world might offend them? Well, people are offended sometimes when their pride pops up. Be careful. You can be offended if your pride gets wounded, when your ego gets wounded. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you and make a real quick explanation. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 54, it reads like this. When He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in Him. Now, here's what happened. Jesus shows up, and a group of Christians, supposed to be, they say, what's so special about Him? Isn't He just like the rest of us? What makes Him better than me? Now listen to me. What we see here, we see, and it says, and they were offended. Now, I don't think this is just about Jesus. I think somebody's pride's out of control. They were offended because of their pride. They said, hey, isn't this the carpenter's son? I mean, didn't he grow up here in town? I mean, isn't he just like everybody else? They were offended because their pride was out of control. Now, folks, let me tell you something. If you're not careful, you'll be offended because of pride. What offends us? Well, lost people can be offended in Jesus. What offends us? If we're not careful, we'll be offended because our pride, our egos get damaged. But I might say this, just so you know. The truth is, for some, it could be anything that could offend them. Some people are very easily offended. You need to be careful. Everybody here that's ever been hurt, could I recommend something to you? Examine yourself and figure out if you have developed a victim mentality. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Everything's against me. You're just a victim all the time. It's always bad things. It's just you. And if you're not careful, you will develop a victim mentality, and it takes very little to offend somebody that has a victim mentality. They're so busy with their guard up. I'm offended. I got my guard up. Matter of fact, you go to help someone with a victim mentality, you'll end up with an enemy if you're not real, real careful. They're very hard to help. You go to help them, they're ready to fight, and you don't understand me, and you don't know what I've been through, and you don't know why I am the way I am, and you don't know why I'm so mean, and you don't know why I'm vindictive, and you don't know why I'm so rough, and you don't know why I'll come after you, and I'll come after everybody else. Have you developed a victim mentality? Because if you have, you're easy to offend. You know, everybody's been through some things. That didn't give everybody the right to be nasty and mean and hateful. Not everybody's your enemy, and not everybody's out to get you, and this isn't all just about you. But I'm telling you, the lost get offended because we believe very strongly about Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches. The saved, if you're not careful, their pride can, their ego gets inflated, then they can be offended. Then there are some, if they've developed that victim mentality, everything is offensive to them. Now, not only that, may I say, when someone is found wrong or proven wrong, watch out. That's enough to offend a person. You say, but they're wrong. I know. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 15. It says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Here someone is questioning Jesus. They're questioning him. And to a degree, they're challenging him. In verse number 3 it says, "But he answered," so Jesus answers them, "and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition?" So they challenge him. He turned around, challenged them, and he corrects them. By the way, if God corrects you, he's right and you're wrong. Then in verse number 12 it says, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after hearing your saying?" What happened? They were told they were wrong. Can I tell you something? When you tell people they're wrong, even if they're wrong, you could be in trouble. That is offensive. You say, "But preacher, that doesn't make sense. It does not make spiritual sense." But I've been working with people for a long time. There's some people you can't look them right square in the eye and say, "You are the wrong one." They can't take it. They can't take it. Matter of fact, I've preached lots of sermons. I don't even have to look them right square in the eyeball. All I have to do is mention that they're wrong for their behavior. They can leave out of here offended, never come back and become my enemy just like that. When they were wrong. That's exactly what happened here in the Scripture. I mean, Jesus proved these Pharisees wrong. They turned right around and they were angry with him. So what is it that might offend us? The lost get offended? When you promote Jesus, the saved, they might get offended because of their pride. The saved might get offended when they're told that they're wrong. The saved might get offended, and sometimes for just whatever. But that having to do with the victim mentality. Well, who is it? Who is it that then would do this offending? And remember, in the scripture that we read earlier tonight from Proverbs 18:19, it's talking about a brother offended. I don't think you and I ought to be offending people. But then it says the offender, now he becomes contentious. So there's two levels of misbehavior here. Well, who is it that would do this offending? Well, just so you know, it's all of us. It's all of us. We all can do the offending. James chapter 3 verse number 2 says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man." Just so you know, I've not met any of those perfect men. And we all, from time to time, offend. There are men in here, you offend your wives. There are wives in here, you offend your husbands. There are children in here that offend their parents, and parents in here, whether you believe it or not, that you offend your children. There are brethren in here that offend one another. So, might I say to all of us, we all have to be careful of this. We all have to be careful of being the offender. But who is it? And everybody has to work at this. And I'm not talking, I don't think you and I ought to become what we call wishy-washy Christians. I think we need to stand for what is right, and I think we need to talk about what is right. I'm not talking about backing off on taking our stand. But I am going to tell you this, we ought to be careful how we take our stand. Sometimes it's not that for which we stand. Sometimes it's how we handle that for which we stand. Can you examine yourself for a moment? How well skilled are you with people? Because I believe one of the greatest skills for mankind is his skill with mankind. With mankind. If you're constantly offending people, then you might need to fix you. You might need to fix you. You say, they shouldn't be so sensitive. But here's the problem. You can't fix them. The only one that you can fix is you. And so, let's work not to be the offender. Who offends? All of us from time to time. But we want to make sure that we're not the one doing the offending. There are a lot of reasons why people get offended. Why is it? Why do you and I get offended? What happens to us? Well, I'm going to use a scripture. Most of you could quote it. It's found in Psalm 119, verse 165. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So you know, as long if you and I would live according to the Bible, and believe it, and claim it, and live it, we wouldn't find ourselves on the offended end. That's and the truth is, we also would not find ourselves on the offender end of things. So you say, what's the problem? Well, very simply, I think we're offended because we don't love the Bible like we're supposed to love the Bible. See, that's too simple. I'm sorry, that's just what the Bible says. And if it's too simple, then you take that up with God. But God says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. That should be our goal. It should be my goal that nothing offends me. By the way, it should be my goal that I don't offend others. But here's the thing. I don't have any control over others. I only have control of me. So I've got to get me under control. I've got to get me in subjection to the scripture so I'm not the offender. Then I've got to get me under control because I can't control when people would do things to hurt me or that could offend me. I've got to make sure that I handle the offense the proper way too. Hey, is your goal in life to be able to handle people's situations so you're not offending, so that you're not being offended? Because both show weaknesses. If you're the offender, that's a weakness. If you're the offended, that shows weakness too. Do you desire to rise above the fleshly, carnal, weak ways of unspiritual man? You know, some people, you're just offended way too easily. Somebody can say something and it just, you know, there's some of you, every day of your life is ruined by you and the way you handle what somebody did or said. Every day! There's some of you, you're miserable every day of your life. I would not want to go through life every day, 7 days a week, offended. Every day. Don't you think that God intended that we grow up a little bit and every day not be offended over and over and over and over again? Hey, and by the way, there's some of you, you're an offender every day of your life. Every day you do something that offends somebody because you're not working at handling people in the right way. Do you desire not to wear your feelings on your cuff? Do you desire to get your tongue under control so you don't hurt people that wear their feelings on their cuff? Look at the bench. Boy, it is so quiet. Either. Look at the great benefits of this. It says, great peace have they, which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know what? That's what some of your minds need. Your mind needs great peace. It's sad to me. Look this way. It's sad to me, but I watch people like this. Some people like this just all the time. I'm going to crack up. You need great peace? Well, there's one of two things happening. Either you're the offender and you don't have any peace, or you're the offended and you don't have any peace. But great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So some of you, it's time for you to get it together. You shouldn't be cracking up 7 days a week, offended 7 days a week, offending 7 days a week. The benefit, great peace. That's what your mind needs. You know what your marriage needs? Great peace. Somebody in your marriage needs to stop offending. Somebody in your marriage needs to learn how to handle offense so you're not wounded all the time. That's what homes need.
This business of young people being mad at parents and being offended for weeks and days and just holding everything against mom and holding everything against dad. Young people, you're going to have to learn to handle your emotions a little bit better than that. You're going to be miserable. You're going to have yourself in a depression, and you're going to hate your marriage and hate your life and hate your family and hate your mom and hate your dad or hate your husband or hate your wife. Folks, did you know that's not how Christians are supposed to live? Great peace have they, which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. You know, that's what churches need. Churches need people that don't want to be the offender, and churches need people that can deal with offenders. Someone offends you, learn how to handle it. You don't have to tuck your tail between your tuck your tail between your legs and walk out in a tizzy, mad and hurt and bitter, and I'm going to the church across town because I can't get along with old so-and-so. Why don't you grow up? Now, so you know, I don't have any problem taking place right now like that in my church, and I think the best time to preach on it is when it's not happening, but there ought not be people that you're offended with or that you're offending, and they can't get along, and therefore you have contention, the Bible said, in your church. The prerequisite to this great peace, the prerequisite to the nothing shall offend them, what is it? Which love thy law. Which love thy law. Love for the Word of God, like you should, if you love the Word of God like you should, it will produce a peace that you need. It will produce a nothing shall offend them atmosphere. I believe if you'll love the Word of God, you'll live the Word of God, you'll read the Word of God, you'll memorize the Word of God, and you'll take it seriously, and you'll stop passing the buck to everybody else. It's always somebody else's fault that you're offended. It's always somebody else that you offended. If some of you would grow up and live according to the Bible and get it together, you wouldn't have those offenses in your marriage. You wouldn't have those offenses all the time. And some of you are surrounded by contention that is produced by a lack of love for the Word of God. Now, if right now I were preaching against drunkenness, some of you'd be shouting amen, but I'm here to tell you, marriages need to grow up, and young people need to grow up, and Christians need to grow up, and practice the verse that says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We live in an emotional world. Volatile. One minute they're happy, the next minute they're as mad as a hornet. Get it together, Christian. Grow up. And God can give you that kind of victory. Now, why in the world would you and I be offensive? Why? Well, I think we offend because we do not think before we speak. God gave you a brain so you can think, and your tongue should not kick in gear till your brain has gone through a process. Let me teach you some things about not being offensive. Ask yourself this question. With what I'm about to say, how will it be perceived? You know what I've learned? It is not just what I say. It is how the hearer will perceive what I say. You say, well, if I say what I say and it's a truth, it doesn't matter. It all depends on if you want to be an offender or not. Learn how to say what you say in a way that it can be received in a non-offensive way. And I realize something. There are some people, it doesn't matter what you say. There are some people, you look at them and say, well, I don't know. I wonder what kind of mood she's in today. I wonder what kind of mood he's in today. And it's you lose if you do and you lose if you don't. And I realize some people are that way. But I am going to tell you, before you talk, it'd be a good idea to ask yourself, with what I'm about to say, how will it be perceived by the hearer? Ask yourself this question. Could I say this in a non-offensive way? That'd be smart. Think before you talk. Most offenders are not thinkers. They're quick to speak and they're slow to think. You say, I just said what I was feeling. Bad move, buddy. Your emotions are not to control your mouth. The Scripture is to control your mouth. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Nothing should come out of your mouth unless it's gone past the desk of God and you've looked at it and you've said that's the right thing to say. Plan your words. Not just what to say, but how to say it. You see, we offend because we do not think before we speak. We offend because we do not think before we act. I am telling you, I know a lot of good Christians, but you know what? If they let their emotions control their actions, and if they let their emotions control their words, they do things, they offend people, and the minute they have and they come to their senses, they say, what was I thinking? Why did I act that way? You were not thinking. You were let your emotions control you. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So, why do we offend? I think we offend because we do not think before we speak. I'm going to use a term here, and I don't know that it even exists, but I'm inventing it right now. I think it'd be wise for all of us to develop some spiritual tact. You've heard of someone being tactful? And I'm not talking about you sit down on some tacks and now your seat is full of tacks. That's not the kind of tact. I'm talking about spiritually tactful. It is relationship and conversation propriety. What would that include? Knowing when something should be said or not. Can I tell you, sometimes the best thing said is nothing. Nothing. Spiritual tact would include knowing how something should be said or not. It's not just some of you say, well, what I said was right. Yeah, but you were a jerk while you said it, which, by the way, the one that perceived it seen the jerk part and not the right part. So they just need to grow up. Sounds to me like you need to grow up too in the way you deliver yourself. Because the offender is in trouble with God. Then the offended ends up in trouble with God. What is spiritual tact? It's knowing where something should be said or not. I'll just give you just a little piece of child-rearing advice. Those of you that have teenagers, most of the time, it would be good if you could to correct your teenager not in the presence of their friends. Say, why? It's just kind of a respectful thing. Do you know how important their friends are to them? Did I say don't correct your teenager? No, correct them. Teenager, you're not getting off the hook. I'm just saying, mom and dad, if the teenager's done something dumb, why don't you call them aside and take them somewhere and say, that was dumb. Why'd you do that? But if you handle it in front of their friends, you may start to build a wall between you and your teenager that you'll regret doing. Why? Those of you that have young people, you know this, they don't want to be embarrassed in front of their friends. And I'm just trying to tell you, that is what we'd call some spiritual tact. Men and women, husbands and wives, can I recommend something to you? Can I recommend that if one of you feels like the other maybe didn't handle something right, could I recommend that you discuss it in private, not in front of your kids? It's called spiritual tact. Could I recommend that you not discuss it in public? Husband and wife, you go somewhere private. And you discuss it. And by the way, with dignity and kindness and gentleness and forgiveness, it's called spiritual tact. What is spiritual tact? It's knowing if something should be said or not. It's mingling grace, mercy, and truth into one bundle. So, why do we offend? Because we don't think before we talk. Why do we offend? Because we don't use spiritual tact. And then I'm going to tell you this. I think some people offend on purpose. Now, I have been around, I've done enough counseling, people counseling, that there are people that will say things and do things to be hurtful on purpose. The Bible says in Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Here, the Bible talks about there are people that cause divisions and offenses. They cause them. I don't believe that means they stumbled onto it and caused it. I think it means they caused it. They meant to cause it. It was an on-purpose thing. You know that there are some people when they get offended, they're then out to cause contention. You hurt me, so I'll cause contention because of it. I will now cause the attention. It's almost like, you took a shot at me, now wait and see what I do to you. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But there are people who we offend because we don't think before we talk. We offend because we do not try to practice spiritual tact. We offend sometimes because we want to be offensive. Watch out. Hey, you know, and folks, you all live, and everybody in here is a grown up. But I can tell you, there are people who know how to say things that are hateful and mean and divisive, and they'll say it because they want to hurt. They decided, I will use these words, and I will hurt when I use these words. That's what I want to do. I'm going to tell you something. You better get your tongue under control. Get your tongue under control. You say, well, what do I do? How do I take care of this? Well, let me give you a little quick advice, and we'll be done and on our way. How do you overcome being an offender? How do you do that? Well, like I said, first of all, develop some spiritual tact. Think before you act. Do you know there are times when even within the church, I think someone needs a little correction? You'll notice I don't spend my time correcting people in front of everybody all the time. But you know, I do correct things in the church. There are people that I'll call to my office and I'll say, hey, you need to behave yourself. I have my way of correcting. But nowhere in the Bible does it say I'm to make a public spectacle of everybody, get them up and beat them within inches of their life emotionally and verbally in front of everyone. But I do correct things. But you know, you've got to learn to think before you talk. That spiritual tact. Think about how you're going to handle things. Sometimes discipline ought to just be delayed until everybody cools off. You know, you take someone that they're already mad and they're already emotional and they're already upset and you go to correct at that moment, you're liable to make it worse. So what do? Just put a delay on it. One of my boys had gotten home after curfew when he was an older teenager. He had a car. He got home after curfew. Well, he was in trouble. And he knew he was in trouble. But when he walked in the door, I could tell it. Emotionally, he was late. He knew he was late. And he knew I don't tolerate lateness well. So he came in the door almost like this. He's ready to go. So I didn't say a word. Matter of fact, I didn't say a word for days. And this is what happened. It went from this. And he and I were together in my pickup truck, and we were driving up the road, and we were laughing and having a good time. He said, by the way, I wanted to talk to you about something. Yeah, Dad, what do you want? I said, you were late a couple weeks ago. He said, oh. And I said, you don't come home late when I give you a curfew. You're going to lose your privilege of driving the car. Oh, Dad, I said, I think you ought to be punished. Tell me. They hated when I did this. I said, what do you think your punishment ought to be? Oh, did they hate that question? And he said, well, I suppose I shouldn't be allowed to drive the car for 2 weeks. And I said, 2 weeks? You are rough. I was thinking about 1 week. He said, Dad, you're so cool. I just took the car away from the kid for a week, and he liked it. Listen, let me do the preaching. Well, you say, how did that happen? I'll tell you how that happened. It happened because I knew he came in like this, and I could wait it out. And I knew if I handled it right with some tact, folks, you're going to find out about me. You're going to have to push me very hard to get me to humiliate you in any way publicly. You men, you don't have to worry. I won't be humiliating you in front of your wives. You wives, I won't be humiliating you in front of your husbands. I don't humiliate your children. I don't humiliate your grandchildren. But as a pastor, I am to correct, and there are times that I'll have to discipline, but I'm going to tell you something. I want to treat people with a dignity. Hey, my enemies are treated with dignity. There's not an enemy alive that I have that has not been treated with dignity. Because I believe the human race abuses one another, and all of us deserve hell, and all of us that are a bunch of dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing, scum-of-the-earth sinners better learn how to treat each other. If an almighty, holy God can treat us right with all the disappointments that we've shown Him, then we ought to be able to treat each other right. How do you overcome being an offender? Get that spiritual tact. May I recommend that you just get your tongue under control? The Bible says in James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." In other words, learn how to control your temper so you're not quick with it. Learn how to control your tongue so you're not quick with it. The thing that you ought to be swift with is kindness. So we better learn to control our tongue. I would say if you have issues with the offended or the offender part, memorize Matthew chapter 18, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." I think it's time for some of you to realize the value of good relationships. And if you're spending a bunch of time with other offenders, I'll tell everybody in the church, I think you ought to spend time with good Christians. I think you ought to be friendly to everyone. But if you're running around with somebody that's always using offensive words toward their husband or toward their wife, they're using offensive words toward other people, they're easily offended or they're an offender, I think you ought to be kind to them, but I wouldn't spend a bunch of time with them. Why? Well, if you're not careful, you're going to become like them. And the Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Well, I wouldn't want to spend a bunch of time with somebody that is always offended or always an offender. Now, here's the bad part about that. I said that and I taught that once. And someone came to me and said, "Well, I'm married to one. Now what do? I got to live with them." And that's a serious thing. Well, what you're supposed to do is stay married. And you're both to get it together. And if you're an offender in marriage, get it together. And then I told a guy once, I said, you need to get yourself under control. He said, "I've been like this all my life." I said, "So you think that justifies your behavior? You've had your whole life to get this under control. You're saying to the pastor, 'I've just been like this my whole life.'" I said, "Sir, I'm not impressed with that at all. You serve the same God I do. That God is a miracle-working God. If you wanted to get your tongue under control and your offensive behavior under control, you could. You could do it if you wanted to." Can I tell you something that ruins more churches than anything else? I see more churches destroyed because of the offender and the offenses than I do doctrinal improprieties. Now, our church has a great spirit. We have a great spirit. I know of no contention among the people in this room. But I am going to tell you something. If we spend time together, we work, do the work of God together, there's going to be moments when somebody's going to offend you. Say, "Well, what do? Learn how to be offended without destroying relationships. And everybody needs to be careful that you're not the offender. The issue that I would most want to give attention to, I don't think there's a bunch of issues within our church in regard to the relationships between the people in this room. I think within homes, there's contention that needs to be taken care of. Maybe it's yours. And you say, "Well, how would you know that?" Maybe it's not me that knows that. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit that knows that. I can't see a thing that happens at your house. There's nobody in here that I can see anything that happens at your house. But if there's contention in your home between husbands and wives, and there's offenses between parents and children and parents, you need to get it together. That will bleed over into the church. Two people mentioned there in the scripture. A brother offended, and then there is the offender. And God said both need to learn how to behave themselves. I've said this for years, any of you that have ever heard me preach through the years. Two big issues in life: how do you get along with God? How do you get along with people? and you say, well, my relationship with God is strong, but I'm just not a people person, you're a liar. You do not have a strong relationship with God and then can't get along with people. This whole book tells us how to get along with people. And if you're so close to this book and the God of this book, then you're learning how to get along with people. God, if I may, is a people person. So if you're spending all sorts of time with God, if you say, I am so spiritual, then you ought to be the best one in the whole congregation in regard to getting along with people. Let's make sure we're not the offender. Let's work at not being the offended. There are sermons that are important in a church's life, and some more than others. This is one not trying to fix something that's broken. This is one that tries to keep things from becoming broken. You say, why? Because the Bible said once it begins to happen, it can be very difficult to fix. And some of you are there. Some of you, there's offenses in your home. You can't seem to get it straightened out. Now, God can straighten it out if you'll just do what you're told. That's what He said. He said, they're hard to be won. Like a strong city. That's because of all the pride, all the vengefulness, the hatefulness, the lack of forgiveness. It's very immature Christianity. But we don't want that in the church, and you shouldn't want that in your home. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. When I preach like this, I always have a little touch of fear that someone will be offended with the truth. You say, I'm guilty. Well, then I'll probably be your next target. But if you're in submission to the Holy Spirit and you love the Word of God, we would all know all of us need to work on this. This sermon's very hard on me. I need to be careful that I'm not offended, and I need to be careful that I'm not the offender. I'm going to bow my head. I'm going to close my eyes along with you. But who here tonight would raise a hand to God and say, Father, I need this. There's something here that I need desperately in this sermon, and I see it. Would you raise your hand? I'm not looking. No one looking around. You say, I need something. My relationships need this. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. There's some of you need to come to this altar and you need to say, God, I don't want to be the offender and I don't want to be the offended. I've got to work on this. I've got to work on it. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Some of you young people need to come down here. You're constantly offended with mom and dad. Some of you married folks, you're always offending in the home, offending your husband, offending your wife. You can't forgive. You can't get over it. They can't win you back because you're so hateful. It's always him. It's always him. It's his fault. Maybe that's not so true. It's always her. It's always her, Brother Owens. Now, maybe that's not so true. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Get some spiritual tact. Learn to say it. When to say it, how much of it to say, and what attitude to say it. Learn to think about what you say before you say it. Are you the offender? Are you the offended? Let's work on both. This will be the last time through the song. We'll pray. We'll be on our way. Oh, let the Holy Spirit convict you. Let it challenge you. Let it change you. Make your home a better place. Make your marriage a better place. Make your workplace a better place. Make your ministry a better place. Look up at me for a moment. I've been doing what I do for a long time. I got called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. I cannot tell you what's been said to me, what's been done to me, how I've been threatened, all the things. Do you know that most people that have hurt me desperately, I tried my best to make sure that their hurt upon me did not ruin my relationship with them. And for some of them, they can be glad of it. I had to tell a man one day who was being very unkind to me. He said, "You and I get along just fine, but let me tell you something." And I stopped him and I said, "Sir, you and I get along just fine, and you think it's because of you." I said, "I'm not trying to be vain, but sir, you're a very difficult man to tolerate. And I love you, and I've chosen to love you no matter how you treat me. But just in case you're confused, most people don't get along with you because of you. Most people get along with you because of them." Examine yourself. You ever met someone that just thought, "I get along with everybody"? And you're thinking, takes everything out of those around them to get along with them. And if you think my last statement was vain, I don't intend it to be. I'm just telling you, there are some people, to get along with them is almost impossible. And they just think they're people. They get along with people so well. I'd hate to think that the only reason I get along with anybody in here, it's not because I'm doing my part, but it's because you're all doing your part. Wouldn't it be sad? Wouldn't you hate it if the only reason everybody got along with you was not because of you, but because it was their toleration of your misbehavior and that they were high enough quality Christians that they could tolerate you? And by the way, it is the truth about some. It's the truth. I don't want it to be that way. If I've ever offended you, I don't want to offend you. And you're looking at a man that would apologize just like that if I knew I had offended you. Now, I might not change the truth that I preach, but I certainly will work on my behavior and how I handle what I do and what I say. Let's not offend. And when offended, let's learn how to properly handle it. Remain standing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.